Glad to be here with you today in our next series on tools in the tool shed. And I happen to have brought two of my favorite tools with me. If you're a gardener, you will recognize these tools. Ta-da! They're very dirty. The string on this is almost worn to a thread. I really appreciate this tools in the tool shed metaphor for cultivating our spiritual disciplines. I think there's a reason, actually. Jesus used so many parables that had to do with the land, you know, the farming, the gardening, the fruit, because it just suits so well. So this is my humble trowel. You can't make a trowel fancy. I'm sorry, you could make it an ergonomic handle, I guess, but basically it's a small shovel. There's not much else technically you can do with it. Secateurs, awesome. These are the tools I use, I would say, every day in my garden, probably from late February to November. I'm out there cultivating my garden, always deadheading, because that's how you keep things growing good, and always managing the edges of my beds and digging out those weeds. My husband will tell you I am a bit obsessed about weeds that are going to seed. And we'll be out for a walk to take the dog for a walk. And I said, oh, just a second, I just got to pull this. Because you cannot let them go to seed. Just word to the wise. It occurred to me, when you look at a garden, when you enter a lovely, lush, flourishing garden, what don't you see? Weeds, disorder, things gone awry, right? And you do not see the hours and hours it takes to make it look that way. You don't see it. There's no sign saying, Jackie was here and worked 8 hours in this garden, you know? Tim Folkman was here and worked 12 hours in this garden, right? David Dawes was here and worked 10 hours over here. No one sees that. You don't see it, but it is what is needed. And so I think of these tools, they're my everyday go-to to keep the garden in order. And I think of prayer that way. So when I said that I was going to take on prayer, I was like, oh my goodness, sounded like a good idea at the time. And then thinking, there's like courses on prayer. There's so many books on prayer. What on earth have I got myself into? So I decided to actually focus on something I learned a number of years ago when I took a course at Regent on prayer. And we spent one day focusing on the Lord's Prayer. And I had been a Christian for like, I don't know, 40 years by that time. And I knew the Lord's Prayer, and I said it whenever we said it in church, and I said it in Bible studies sometimes. I knew it by heart. But I think it wasn't until I took and spent that day really looking at the Lord's Prayer that I understood more of what it's for, what it's about. So I'm going to be drawing from some of the things I learned in that course today. I'm also going to draw from this lovely little book by Daryl Johnson, 57 Words That Changed the World. Highly recommend it to you if you want to do a deep dive. It's not very long. Deep dive into the Lord's Prayer. And the other thing that's happened to me this year is I chose to join with the Bible Project's Sermon on the Mount series for the whole year. Well, the Lord's Prayer happens to fall in the middle of the middle of the middle of the Lord of the Sermon on the Mount. So of course, June and July came around, and where were we? On the Lord's Prayer. So it worked out really well, except that it gave me so many great ideas to tell you about that I'm having trouble narrowing it down. So we're going to try to stay really simple. We're just diving right in here. The Lord's Prayer is 57 words. It is not complicated. Remember, Jesus said, you don't need to use a bunch of words. You don't need to go on and on and on. God isn't impressed by your big words. He's not impressed by your long prayers. He knows what you need. This is about you coming to your Father who loves you. When Jesus gave this prayer to his disciples, he was giving it in a cultural context where daily prayer was not just in the morning, but like 3 or 4 times a day you would pray. And sometimes if you're in, maybe you've traveled to communities where you still see very devout Orthodox Jews, or it happens in Muslim countries or places like that where they have ritual daily prayers. And you'll be wandering around, all of a sudden someone will put their hat on and they turn to a wall and they just start praying. Or they're on a bus and they just start praying. You might see that still. It still happens. So when Jesus is giving this. He's not saying, so when you decide to pray, no, he's saying when you pray, you're going to pray multiple times a day. Here's what you're going to say. I liked the psalm. I asked Carol to actually read that psalm at the beginning because the echoes of that psalm are in here about the Lord's everlasting kingdom. He lifts up those who call on him. He cares for those who are in trouble. He provides for us. This simple structure of two halves with six petitions. There's only six requests in here. It's so simple, but it's rich with biblical themes. We can do a really deep think about these things if we wanted to. It starts with the reality of heaven. The reality is that God is God, and he is holy, and he's in heaven. And we are asking him to bring heaven here. Heaven is invading earth here. The major themes in this prayer, God is my Father. Jesus also calls him Father. So we share the same Father. Jesus is our brother. We are a family here. We all share the same Father. He is holy, and we want everyone to know he's holy. And we have over generations, over millennia, before Jesus even arrived on the scene, we have made a mess of that. We have brought dishonor to God's name. We have allowed others to come take advantage of God's name or to miss, to do wrong for it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. The next theme, I'm awaiting a new kingdom. A new kingdom lived here, a different way of being in the world, and it begins with Jesus' work on the cross, begins with forgiveness. And I need him to help me every day. Ann Lamott says there's basically three prayers. Help, thanks, wow. Right? And that's kind of what this is. Except we start with the wow, then we move to the thanks, and then we move to help. It's simple, but it's so rich. And when we spend time in this prayer, praying it daily, weekly, with others, on our own, it starts to shape the way we think about the world and how we act in it. And it's kind of the summation of the big story. God is in heaven. God had a plan and a desire for the world and his creation, and he came in the form of Jesus, and Jesus is helping to invade that now on earth. This is the big story, and in this prayer, we find ourselves in it. And not just the big story, but even our own little stories. Those petitions in the second half of the prayer, they're about us. They're about us corporately, but they're also about me. They're about you. Things that we need. Father Cassian, one of the early desert fathers of the church, he said, in this structure, we can catch fire. So you start out praying one thing, and then it goes, boom, spark over here. I need to bring that to the Lord. Oh, that reminds me of this thing I'm thinking about or troubled by. So we catch fire in this prayer. This prayer aligns our desires with God's desires. So part one, who's who and what is what in our faith? Our Father, Jesus is our Father, God is our Father, and Jesus is our brother. He's Jesus' Father as well. Let's get that relationship right. That's why we pray, right? As if you are a parent or if you've been a child of a parent, I think that probably includes everyone here, we know how much better it is when we just talk to each other. Just talk to each other instead of trying to guess what the other is thinking or waiting for the other one to respond. Talk to each other. He is holy, and we want him to be recognized as holy. Holy is your name. And your kingdom come. What do we mean by this kingdom? I'm going to read from here. Listen to this. Jesus' miracles demonstrate that indeed the future is breaking into the present. But they do more than validate that claim. They give us a picture of what God's kingdom is all about. Jesus gives sight to the blind. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus causes the lame to walk. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus touches and cleanses lepers. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus liberates those held captive. That is the kingdom. This is the new order. breaking into the present. Jesus heals the sick. That is the kingdom. Jesus befriends prostitutes, and one of them becomes a good friend and washes his feet with her tears. That is the kingdom. Jesus calms the wind and waves. That is the kingdom. Jesus multiplies the loaves to feed the hungry. That is the kingdom. Jesus champions the powerless. He stands in solidarity with the poor. That is the kingdom. That's the kingdom. That's what we're asking here in this prayer, to come to earth. Thank you. Amen. Yeah. And what is his will for his kingdom? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's his will? What is his will? Right? This is his will. Jesus says this in John, after feeding the 5,000, right? And everyone's coming for him, wanting more bread, right? Give us this bread. Okay, what is this bread? Give us this bread. And Jesus says, okay, you're kind of missing the point. I have come from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he's given to me, but raise them up so that they shall have eternal life. And that eternal life, friends, doesn't begin after you die. It begins today. It begins now. When Jesus frees us, we are now free to have God's life in us. That's life abundant. It's like bread and living water and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and mercy and compassion and good relationship. It's the restoration of shalom. It is good for us. That's his will. That's when we say, your will be done. That's what we're asking for. Would we have good, better, full life, Lord? Would we understand what it means to be alive in you? Life is hard, and we don't always know. And sometimes God seems silent. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we're like waiting for years and years and years and years to figure out, how is he going to answer this prayer, this need that I have, this fear, this worry, this concern? And we wait a long time, but we don't know. God's will is good. His purposes are good, always good for us. We need to trust him. Okay, the second part of this prayer. We're moving right along. Where do we want this kingdom to come? Here, on earth, with us. So, in this second half, there's like, you know when you're reading something on the internet and there's that, something pops up and it's in blue, right? A text is in blue and you can click on it, it takes you somewhere else. So this second half of the prayer has a lot of those hyperlinks in it. So, for example, when we say, give us this day our daily bread, what does it make you think of right away? The daily bread. What Bible story is famous for daily bread? Exodus, the manna in the desert for 40 years. Every day there was bread out of nothing. He gave them bread, right? He also provided wine at a wedding. He also filled nets to bursting with fish. He also fed 5,000. He fed 4,000. He talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet. God is about feeding us, satisfying us. That's what he wants, to satisfy our desires. So that's one of the hyperlinks. When we start thinking about those, the way he provides, and we start asking him about what we need for today, Lord, give me what I need today, we start thinking about our possessions differently. Where do they come from? Who is our security? How do I be content with today? And there's a verse in Proverbs. It goes like this, Proverbs 30. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and say, who needs the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my Lord. So help us be content. Provide for us and help us be content with what you give us. That will change also the way we think about how we share what we have with others. We then become an answer. God's working through us to answer someone else's prayer. Right? It's beautiful. Jesus is brilliant. He's just so brilliant. Okay. Next one. This is a big one. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our debts. It's actually like a banking kind of transaction. You got a big debt over here. We're going to wipe it clean. This is central. It's the only petition that Jesus gives a little addendum to, right? He says, because if you don't forgive other people, I can't forgive you. And I think this is not prescriptive. I don't think it's meant to be punitive. I think it's descriptive. Only as much as we are able to forgive other people will we receive the forgiveness. If I'm not able to forgive people, I'm hanging on to something, right? And until I let it go, Jesus hasn't really done his full work in me. And in fact, when this word forgive was translated into the Greek, they used the word aphesis, A-P-H, aphesis, which means to release, like to let out of prison. It's kind of like the Jewish word for jubilee. Remember that jubilee idea in the Old Testament where every 7 years, everyone's debts were released. Could you imagine if we lived like that? No mortgages after 7 years, right? Wow. Okay, like just think about that for a second. But also think about how that changes the way our whole world order would be, how we think about each other, how we live together. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. And if we will not free others, then we are not free, because we think we're holding them to account, but actually now I can only use one hand to do anything because I'm hanging on to this thing all the time. It's going to affect how I do my work. It's going to affect how I interact with my family. I don't know what it is that you're hanging on to, but Jesus says, let it go. Let it go. Be free. And when we are letting things like that go, when we are free to forgive people, then we really receive the freedom he wants to give us in our forgiveness, his forgiveness of us. Okay. And the hyperlink there? What's the hyperlink? What was the story that Jesus told of someone who had a huge debt and had trouble forgiving? Who was that? Right? There was the unforgiving servant. The guy owned his king like $1 zillion. And he's begging, he's pleading, he's like, I can't. There's just no way I can't. And he realizes he's doomed. And the king says, you're right. Okay, done. I'm crossing it off the books. It's done. You're free. And that man then goes and finds his own employee, and he says, hey, you owe me for those Big Macs I bought you last week, and I'm not going to let that go until you pay me every penny. Right? So that man, Jesus says, doesn't understand what's going on. He's missed the point. Forgiveness is the point. It's the point. It's where all of this meets together. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. I'm going to sing you something. This is how I learned this. This is how I learned this scripture. I've memorized it since I was a teenager because someone sang it to me. It goes like this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It was for freedom that he came. It was for restoring that right relationship. That's what it's all about. Okay, the next one. Lead us not into temptation. What is the hyperlink here? Jesus was tempted in the desert. And how did he stay, how did he pass that test? What did he use? Scripture. He had God right with him on the tip of his tongue. Life is hard. Things are going to happen. Sometimes they happen to us out of the blue. Sometimes they happen to people we love and we walk through terrible things with them. Sometimes we make bad choices and things go horribly awry and we are now in a mess. How we respond to those things is where we need Jesus walking with us every moment. Lead me, Lord. Protect me from the evil one. The fear, the anger, the greed, the power, whatever it is that I think will fix this moment, protect me from that. Help me be true to you walking with me. every day. Okay, we've made it through all six petitions. We are now going to pray this prayer together. And I'm going to ask us in a moment to do this as a family. So I'm going to, because we are praying to our Father, we are together praying this prayer. And sometimes when we're sitting in our seats, all facing the front, we forget that there's people behind us. There's people this way or that way. We want to pray this together. When we pray these petitions, they're like little pockets. So we can insert our own prayers into these petitions. There's a musical term called the basso continua. And in some pieces of music, the basso continua is this like very steady, undulating bass line. And it just goes and goes and goes, and it's the bedrock of the music. And then the melody comes on top, and it dipsy doodles, and it goes up here, and then it maybe repeats something back here, and then it goes over this direction. But the underlying, the basso continua, is the bedrock. The Lord's Prayer is like the bedrock. That's 57 words. But inside all those petitions come the prayers of his people. So we are praying, when we pray those 57 words, we are praying with generation upon generation, century upon century of believers. What a statement of unity that is. But also, on top of that basso continua, come our own little prayers, our own desires, our own needs. They are the music in our context that we need Jesus to hear and God to hear. So I'm going to ask you, I don't know how this is going to work, but we'll see how it goes. I'm going to ask you to sort of somehow turn your chairs if you can. And if there's someone beside you who has trouble turning their chair, maybe you turn to them instead. Maybe little groups. And I just want you to look each other in the eye for a moment. Okay? You don't have to say anything. I'm just going to let you do that first, and then I'll tell you how we're going to go. Okay, are we settled? Thank you. Doesn't it feel good to look at each other? Okay. I'm going to lead us through the prayer. So I'm not going to ask you to say anything out loud. But just know that in this circle, we are praying together, right? We are praying together. You have people around you praying the exact same things, but you also get to insert your own desires. So silently, when I pause, insert your own prayers into the pockets of these petitions. Okay, here we go. Our Father, through our brother Jesus, your Son, we come to you and we say, Holy is your name. May your character and self-sacrificing love be evident to all through your church. And may my own life reflect your holiness. Our Father who art in heaven, your kingdom come. Break through the veil of hiddenness and manifest your splendor, your might, your healing and your goodness. May we begin to see all around us your kingdom coming. Break through my darkness that I may see you at work in the world. Our Father in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to trust you, to be obedient in waiting for you. Help us to look for your life in abundance. Help us to be aware of that for us. Help me be open to your work in my life, shaping me to be more like Jesus. Help me to trust your good will. Our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need each day for this moment. And help us be generous to others in need. Help us be grateful for your provision and feed those who need your food, your sustenance, both in body and in spirit. Our Father who art in heaven, forgive us as we forgive others. We confess our sin to you, Lord. Show us where we as a church have done wrong, where we need to make reconciliation with others. Help me see where I can speak forgiveness for past hurts. Free me from bitterness and the prison of seeking vengeance. Our Father who art in heaven, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. When things are hard, when trouble is all around us, stay close to us, Lord. Help us look to you instead of to our own desires. Lord, we are weak. Help us. Help me, Lord. For yours is an everlasting kingdom. Yours is the power, the glory. We love you, Lord. Amen.